Blog Talk Radio.
The date was May 14th at 10 past 10. I got my world rocked and introduced to my best friend. At that point, I realized my path to be is to be the best father I could possibly be. Then I held you for the first time. I saw in your face that you knew who I was, that you felt so safe. Make no mistake, because I felt safe too. The way you fit right in my arms, it was like face true. You're meant for great things. I could tell you gon' rise, because your eyes so alive, they as blue as the skies. I wouldn't lie, you're the reason I breathe, because your smile's so bright, the sunshine that I need. Yes, you're my little man, kissing on your little hand. Listen, you my shining star, proving there's a bigger plan. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, and your mom, we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared.
Well, good evening to the Diamond on the Rough Show with Ordinary Woman Charlie Alejandro and Mountain Man. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, hey, how's it going? What's up, Boston? Oh, man, nice day today, huh?
I'm sorry if I yelled in your ear there, Charlie. I don't mean to, but I was just
no, you're good.
Making sure I was out there and all that over that music, and if there was any. So what's going on today? I see we have a busy, busy Thursday night here on the Diamond on the Rough Show.
Yeah, we're just hanging out. Welcome to our listeners. Hope everybody's staying warm and enjoyed the nice sunny day out today. It was kind of decent weather. After it's been so cold lately, we hit the 40s. We thought it was springtime again.
Yes, I hear that. Of course, I was hurting yesterday myself.
Yeah, what happened?
Just the weather. My back was spasming.
That's not good.
No.
So everybody,
are we having
like
issues with
you?
The board again in the other room?
I have no idea. But anyway, so how's everybody doing? Welcome to, we are going to use it just for today, terrific Thursday. Just an awesome day to get your thoughts out and make sure that we keep it positive and keep going forward and analyze whatever we're doing this week, whether it's for the good of mankind, for yourself, or just plain, you know, what are you doing? What are you about? What are you up to? We're already 21 days into 2010. Are you any closer to your goals? Do you feel like you're on track?
No.
Come back a little bit. So this is a good time to analyze that and figure out if we're really headed in the direction that we want to. We don't want to go through the whole year and then wind up again back on December 31st, feeling a little bummed out because we didn't do what we were supposed to. So just to remind everybody, we have some exciting guests coming up in the future. We talked about it in the last couple of shows. But before we get all to that,
we're going to go with our call-in number is 347-989-1473.
Yes, you can call us at that number, or you can go on the internet, www.blogtalkradio.com / ordinary woman, woman spelled W-M-N. You can join us into the chat room. You can hang out with us there, post your questions, comments, or concerns. Also, if you happen to be on the road and you want to take us with you, you can call that call-in number, and you can actually listen to the show by way of your phone. Also, to remind you, all the past segments are on our page on Blog Talk. So if you go to Ordinary Woman segment page, you can click on there and listen to all our old shows from the past and get caught up and have some fun with it. So, yes, that's how you can get us, and make sure you continue to listen. And welcome to all our guests that have continually to join us and are here. Today we have two very exciting guests. We're going to have Michelle McNell. She'll be calling later. She was one of the finalists that was on the Deborah Crosby Talent Quest. At the 8 o'clock hour, we have Scott E. Mack all the way from Detroit, Michigan. Yes, the city in the town. He is an innovative rapper, producer, and created his own radio show out there, creating some great buzz for the independent music movement. He actually is the founder of the independentmusicmovement.com. If you're a new artist, independent, unsigned, go on down to that website and join forces. And he has a great concept that he's going to talk about. But, yeah, he's definitely making sure new artists get the word out. He has his own podcast out every Tuesday night on Pod-O-Matic, and we'll put that link up as well. So, yeah, we got some great stuff coming our way.
All right, if you're putting links up in the room,
I will be putting the segments. No, I'll put the links up in the segment page, so they will be there even after the show's done. So just to, if you look at the segment page, actually Scotty's email link, I mean not email, sorry, website link is already up there, so you can click on that and be able to go right into his show segment page on Pod-O-Matic and be able to listen to the past podcast. And some of the rougher edge music that he's putting out, Underground Movement, definitely for adults. You'll love it. It's some rough, edgy stuff. He actually had Cardiac on the show a few months back. And when you tune in, actually the intro, Cardiac wrote the intro for him and custom made it just for him out in D-City. So, yeah, big time, big time.
Awesome. Cardiac, you're doing a good job, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And hello to David.
Who's Hi, in David.
The chat
How
room.
Are you?
I don't know if we're both able to see the chat room, but I know I just seen David from New Hampshire, which I know that's our buddy.
Yeah.
So he says hello
to
Chris and Charlie.
Hey, that's cool. Yeah, we've been having a little bit of difficulties in our studio on this end. For some reason, we've been having difficulties with the wiring for the internet and the phone since we had that little ice storm back on Tuesday. So going to have it all repaired this weekend, and we'll be back up normal. So I'm kind of mobile. I'm not actually in the studio today. I'm doing the hookup from the laptop and from the cell phone. So hopefully things will be okay. I don't know if we'll be able to get the chat room up there, but for the most part, we seem good to go. As long as I got you on the hardwire, we're all good.
And I think that's why I do the hardline for the show, make sure we have a good connection and everything. And,
yeah, that's very important to be able to do that. So before we have our guest call in, I want us to get us focused on what we've been talking about, some of the things that have been going on in the area. I know Tuesday we had the great election here in Massachusetts, got a lot of people involved, and it's kind of an election that a lot of people in the whole country were watching just because of the fact of the massive voter turnout. And one of the things that came out of that that I was very proud of is the fact that people actually – didn't let the weather get in the way, didn't let the fact that it was snowing and rainy and slushy stop them from actually getting out there and voting. And irregardless of who the winner was, it was a nice thing to see the people of Massachusetts speak loud and clear. They sent the message to the powers that be that we're just not going to sit around and take it anymore. We want change. We want it quickly. Whether this particular person that was elected is the change that we're hoping for isn't the point. The point is it goes to show what we as people can do when we're actually willing to go out there and get involved. And it was funny because I had a conversation with someone earlier just about that we as voters really have to step up to the plate. We have to start educating ourselves on who the candidates are, what they really stand about. And when I'm saying that is we have to stop relying on the TV ads and the radio blitzes because that's never going to be accurate. We know it. It's a fact of life. We always can find ways to take a fact and twist it either negative or positive, whatever way it suits us at that particular point. So I really encourage our listeners, when you're voting, when you're getting involved, dig deep. Take this as a homework assignment. Really look at the record of the candidate. If he's an incumbent, what has he done? What has he not done? What does he stand for? What does she stand for? And make an educated vote. Sadly, 90% of voters, they don't know anything about the candidate. Most of the time, they don't make a decision about who they're going to vote for until they're actually in that voting booth. And sadly enough, most of the time, it's all based on name recognition. Just because you recognize the name, because you've heard it before, does not necessarily mean that that's the candidate you should be voting for. There's a lot of names that are recognized, but that not means that they're good people. I mean, I know who Jeffrey Dahmer is, and he's a mass murderer that, did horrible things. That doesn't mean it's a good person. Now, I'm not saying that the candidates are that bad, but what I'm saying is that you need to really be able to know what's behind that name, what's behind that person. And the other thing is, if we're really not happy about the way things are going, we need to start getting involved, start encouraging other people that are not incumbents to go out and run for office, help them with the fundraising, with the PR, whatever it is, or you know what, run yourself. Jody Purdy from South Shore Casting, amazing woman, she actually has decided to do that. She talked about years about how she's volunteered, done things, and this year she finally said, you know what, I'm going to do the research that I need to do and figure out what I need to do to run for office. So we're going to have her on the show later on once I can track her down because she's an amazingly busy woman. It'll be interesting to get that mindset, and that's what we have to start doing. We have to remember that it's very easy to say someone needs to do something. They need to do something. Something needs to change. Reality is it all starts with us. We need to educate ourselves, know who we're putting in office, and if we're not happy with them, have the courage to kick them out of there and get some new people. So, Mountain Man, what have you been up to, my man?
Oh, I am just chuckling here because David just put something in our room, and it's not red or blue state. It really is about being purple. Oh, that's a good one, David. That's a good one.
I love that.
That is,
you know,
so
and it's true. And the thing is, one of the things that I've noticed, and again, I love to share this with the listeners just to get you thinking, is do you notice the silly stuff that they spent all this time and effort focusing on instead of getting to the real issues? I mean, what are the legitimate issues? I know for a fact that in our state, there's people hurting because there's not enough jobs. Some people are losing their homes because of the mortgage scandal and all that happened. Their payments are too high. They're having issues with health care because Massachusetts is a state that mandates for you to have health care. You are required by law to have health care. And that's all well and good, but how do you go out and get health care if you don't have a job or if you have to choose between health care and paying your mortgage? So it's funny how these candidates will misconstrue the facts and have you totally focusing on all these other issues that I really don't give a flying duck about because it's not important to the people that I see hurting, the people that are afraid day to day that tomorrow they might be homeless because their house will be taken away from them. And those are the things that I'm upset about in a way, in a good way, because it helps you get into action and do things that are important to make sure that we as a people can actually, you know, it's time for us to realize America is a great country, so we need to keep it that way. We need to focus on helping our own people out, taking care of our issues at home. I know my mom was great. Just there's a friend of mine that on the weekend I go over to her house and help her clean her house, yet my room looked like a bomb had hit. And my mother always said, make sure you take care of your mess at home before you go and clean everybody else's house. And it's funny that now I see that as a great analogy. We as an American people need to take care of our own issues on our own shores before we go out and help the rest of the world. Because otherwise, it's pretty sad when we're helping others more than we're helping our own people right here at home.
Right. I hear that one.
Yes. So, man, why don't you give us the phone number again? And I apologize to our listeners. My chat room doesn't want to cooperate today, which is all well and good. So I'm flying
blind. Hey, at least
here.
I've got the chat room up and running. I've got the switchboard up and running. And the call-in number is 347-989-1473. If you'd like to call in and give us any comments, queries, questions, whatever, concerns, complaints, whatever, you can call that number.
The other cool thing, too, is if you want, you can reach us on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, WMN, and you can reach us that way as well. While we have the time, we have talked in the past about getting involved in doing charity work, and there's a great opportunity this weekend. I'm going to put it up on my computer so I can give the information, but there's actually a group, the AD3, they're actually looking for volunteers this weekend in North Andover. If you happen to be in the area and you're free to do that, you're going to be packing up medical supplies to send to places that need it as a contribution. So I think it's going from 12 to 3. They're going to be looking for people. They'll actually show you how to do it. You can roll up your sleeves and go out there and help pack the medical supplies that are going to be going overseas to other places and be able to pitch in and help that way. Later on in the show, I'll give you the opportunity to, I will actually give you the address and everything for that. The other thing, too, that I'm always encouraging people to do is I know that, again, we were talking about the recession and how the economy is not that great. There are other ways that you can help out. If you're healthy and strong, Red Cross is always looking for blood donations. That's a great way to help. You can donate a pint of blood, be able to go down there. It's a great opportunity to pitch in a little bit because the blood bank supplies always get a little low after the holidays, sadly, because of accidents and stuff like that. But you can always donate that way, and that's another way that you can help. Also, if you happen to have a couple of bucks here or there, you can actually donate through the Red Cross for the Haitian relief effort. I don't know if you've guys heard, they're actually suffering some aftershocks lately that have been hitting the country again as well. So there's a great need down there. Supplies are flying down. They're actually getting fresh water out to them and stuff. And, you know, a lot of us always think that if we don't have $50 or $100, we shouldn't even bother. Every little bit helps. $2, $5, whatever you can afford to pitch in and help out, make sure you do that as well. So, yes. And Mountain Man, how has it been going with your workout regimen? How are things going for you?
Well, I've actually had a meeting today with a few people, and one of them I know you know, but we had to have a meeting today, and my energy is down.
Mm-hmm.
I almost called you and told you that I wasn't going to be able to do the show, but I said, no, I can't do that. I know she's counting on me. I gotta just pull on through.
Right.
Because
see, and
I know
that's an important thing to make sure that we take care of ourselves and get on track. And it's funny that you mentioned that because my son was at the hospital earlier for a physical, nothing major, just a regular physical so he could go back to school. He's in college. And it's funny because now the health plan that we're attending, for the first time in life, it's really awesome that they're actually doing that. They're actually starting to get proactive. And that is another thing that's real important that we start focusing on. What they're actually doing is it's kind of cool. They give you a questionnaire when you first come in, and they ask you questions about your sleeping habits, your exercise habits, your eating habits, all this. And then after you have your physical, they pull all those questions that you answered, and they actually give you a comprehensive plan of maybe you need to think about doing this to lose weight or to have more energy or to get healthier and stuff, which makes a lot more sense to me than waiting until you're actually sick, because that's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. It's a little too late for that at that point, it seems to me.
Right. Well, it's interesting to me because they did, almost over a week ago, I had went into the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gotten asked a question, and I looked at the person like, why are you asking me that question?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know my mother's maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are places and questions that ask, what is your mother's maiden name? So I sat there and I'm like, looked at her, I'm like, why are you asking me that question? And then she informed me that that was one of the new things that they were starting to do.
Right.
And I was just very interested in trying to figure that one out. So.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I guess maybe they're trying to compile better records and information and stuff because.
At Saints, They're going to be having some sort of a kiosk or something that you can go and look at your records or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was...
Well, it's funny, too, because that's another thing. I remember years ago, people had this misconception that they weren't allowed to have access to their own medical records, which is silly because that's your records. Of course you're allowed to have access to them. And I know, for example, one of the HMOs that I go through, cool thing is now you actually have access to your medical records online. I mean, you get a password and you get your own username. You can actually go in there and follow up on when you have appointments, what tests you've had done, what's actually in your medical record. And again, to our listeners, if you do not know what is in your medical records, I really encourage you to request to see them, to have a copy of them. You are allowed by law to see what is being put in your medical records, what is dictated, because you need to be an educated consumer, especially your healthcare. And that's why I mentioned it earlier. I love that commercial that they have. There's this lady in a restaurant. She's asking the waiter 100 million questions about the wine and about the food and where to
go. Oh, yes, I remember
and all that.
One.
Yeah, and then now she's sitting at the doctor's office, and the doctor's like, do you have any questions? And she's like, no. This is your body. This is your health. Ask questions. I mean, if they're giving you a new medication, ask, what is it? Does it have any contraindications with this other medicine that I'm on? Why do I have to be on it? What does it do? What are the side effects? I mean, we have this tendency that, I guess because we've been taught to respect authority and obey the rules and all that, we think that that applies to stuff like doctors' appointments. No, ask questions. And you don't have to be rude or ignorant or anything. You know, and sometimes I notice, and I even said that to my doctor when I went to an appointment, because I actually switched doctors. I said, I feel that 2 seconds after I come into my doctor's appointment, the doctor's not thinking about me. She was thinking about the next patient she has to deal with. Like, I'm being dismissed. And you as a human being, you know your body better than anybody else. And you have to be willing and able to stand up for your right to get quality health care and not accept subpar. If they're not paying attention to you and you feel they're not taking attention to you, then go see another doctor, get a second opinion, or call that doctor on the carpet and tell him. And that's what I actually told my prior doctor. I said, I feel like every time I come in here, you've got better things to do.
And it and I'm starting to get that same feeling because I'm actually in the process of we've already done majority of the paperwork for me to get a new wheelchair, and it's a power chair, but it's another wheelchair.
Right.
And right now, because of my insurances, I am at a roadblock right now, because they want to make sure that all the I's are crossed.
Easy for you to say. See, and that's the thing that gets me, and I'm glad we had this opportunity to bring this up, because this is something that I've been wanting to bring out to the table, because I know our show is about highlighting average and ordinary people and all this, but we also want to educate everybody. And it's just aggravating that you are paying very good money out of your pocket. Your employer is paying money out of their pocket to provide you with insurance plans to make sure you have these things in place. Then you have these underwriters, which are the big business, the big money, making you and your providers literally jump through hoops to get the services that you are entitled to. If my insurance plan covers this, why do I need all these hoops and tricks and spins that I have to do to get it? It's ridiculous. It's not appropriate. And that's where I'm talking about people need to speak up. And one of the things that came out of it was when I said this to my doctor, it kind of shocked her. She's like, is that really how I come across? I said, absolutely. I said, 2 seconds after you come into the room with the patient, it's the whole demeanor. You can tell your mind's not here. It's on whatever else you need to do. Mm-hmm. And it's aggravating. And the other thing that I said to her in a nice way was, I said, if you get tired of a patient coming in for the same thing repeatedly, then maybe you're missing something. Because if you have to keep constantly going to the doctor because a certain condition or certain ailment keeps coming up, and whatever treatment you're giving them is not working and it keeps coming back, maybe it's time to think outside the box. And that's one of the things that also bugs me. And it's funny because my son said the same thing. It's like a lot of times when you go to see a doctor, it's almost like all they do is give you a pill and, okay, see you later, bye.
Exactly.
Problem. It's just, to alleviate the symptoms. Meanwhile, I mean, you know, we had Natalie on the show, Natalie Gerardo Martinez. It took them 10 years to diagnose her lupus and fibromyalgia. 10 years of her going to doctors and literally actually even being sent to a psychiatrist because they thought it was in her mind or she was a hypochondriac. Can you imagine all the stress and aggravation this poor woman went through?
Oh, believe me, I can imagine.
Yeah,
and I
just
can go through.
This person, yeah, exactly. Just because this provider didn't want to be bothered or just couldn't take the time to think outside the box. And that's the main thing I want to leave our listeners with. You have to remember, yes, these doctors are our doctors. They know a lot more than we do. They're only human. And remember, you can have a doctor that graduated top of his class, and you can also have a doctor that graduated just by the skin of their teeth, barely enough, because that happens. You can pass a test. And trust me, if your doctor got a 70 on his final or 100, that's 30 points difference. That's 30 percentile that he could really get seriously wrong in diagnosing a condition or a lab report. Same thing with lab reports. You go and you have a series of tests done, and if you, for example, women with pap smear, you're supposed to get one every year or every 2 years. Every year, because the labs get so many samples in to be tested, mistakes are made. And sadly, that results in people not being diagnosed. Anybody that grew up in the 70s and the 80s, remember Gilda Radner? She was a funny comedian and actress. She was on Saturday Night Live. She actually wound up dying from ovarian cancer because it wasn't discovered in time. She actually had a test done. It came back negative. It was done incorrectly. And that's one of those types of cancers that it needs to be caught at an early stage in order to be able to save yourself from it, to heal. In her case, it was caught too late because she had been getting tests, the thing was negative, and she thought she was fine. But she wasn't. There was something seriously wrong, and she wound up dying from it.
Wow.
So you have to
ask
this one that.
Yeah, and that's like what I'm going through right now. Because the doctor that I'm going through had a nurse practitioner. Now, because the doctor's history with me, I was seeing the nurse practitioner because I could get stuff through her more than I could do through the doctor.
You know, it is funny you bring that up because I can't tell you how many times before I switched doctors before that I would rather see the nurse practitioner because she was more on the money with things. Like, she took the time to ask questions, to read the reports, to really pinpoint
And that's where I'm going with this, is because before she had left the office for some time, because she went with her husband out of town for a while, and when I was trying to get all the paperwork for this wheelchair to be dealt with, she had did the report, but now because of these insurances, I have two insurances, and one of them wants to make sure that every little detail is dealt with. It has taken me this long, and it's going to take even longer because now I have to sit there and fight with the office. Because it's only the doctor now.
Right.
But I'll tell you this. You're right, Charlie. It is easier to work with the nurse practitioner than it is to work with the doctor.
Right. And that's one of the things that, again, I know the big issue that everybody's talking about, the politicians are talking about the universal health care. And there's the pros and the cons. You know, it's big money, all this stuff that's going on. But what amazes me, and I love the United States, it's my country, I will fight it for it to the death, but there's something that always pops up at me, that how is it that countries in Europe have government-run universal health care and it works? It's been working for years. I'll use Germany as a perfect example because I have friends in Germany. And in Germany, they have the universal health care plan that actually, on top of that, and this is what blows my mind, on top of that, one of the benefits is that if you're a woman who is pregnant and having a child, you can take up to a year off of work with pay to take care of that child. In the United States, we're lucky they have the 12-week leave program when you have a child. 12 weeks is only 3 months, unpaid. You do not get paid for that. And there's no guarantee that when you get back, your job will be waiting for you. The other thing, too, which aggravates me is because everybody's always saying, fathers don't get enough involved in their kids' lives, blah, 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 blah. When fathers are trying to do that, there's like a stigma associated with fathers taking those 12 weeks off as well. Because they can't. They're like, they have to keep earning money because the wife's out. Even if they want to take a week or two, it's like, you know, being looked upon like, what are you doing? My friend in Germany, her husband was able to take a month off of work with pay because he had a child and be able to be there and help her and bond with his new baby girl. So, again, these are things that we as an American people think that universal health care won't work. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I personally am on the fence as far as how they're saying that it's going to be done here, that it might not work, and the variables are different. But there are countries in Europe, that's Germany, Switzerland, they have it. It's working. They've had it for years. And even what might be considered borderline third world countries, El Salvador, very tiny country in Central America, has universal health care. Costa Rica has universal health care. Panama. So these, and I'm not saying that the medical care that these people are getting are awesome or that you're not in the waiting room for hours getting to be seen, because that's true. But the point is that these people are able to get immunizations, are able to get their shots, are able to get prenatal care, care for the babies on a plan that is universal, that's taken care of by the government. So that's the thing that gets me, and what aggravates me the most is the fact that the big businesses, the insurance companies, are the ones that are getting richer. They're the ones that have all the money, and they're the ones that make it so difficult for the thought of universal health care to be put on the books and made into a law or whatever, because they have big-time money being thrown at lobbyists to keep this from happening. And again, it's an unfair advantage, and we, the American people, only hear what they want us to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So my spiel with that is that we seriously, as an American people, need to, and I'm going to use the word revolt, and it's funny because people are like, did she just say we have to go out and go into revolt? It's a revolution. No, it's an educational revolt. Absolutely. People, push away the laptops, push away the computers, shut that television off, and take, well, actually, you're going to need your computer for this because you got to Google. But go out there and do research on what it is that they're talking about, what is important to get, what is available out there for universal health care, what rights do you have as a patient. Like, a lot of people don't even realize that there's the patient rights, that if you go to an emergency room and you don't have the money to pay for it, they still have to see you.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to see you, and there's options to help you get care with if you don't have the money to pay for it. But again, there's the stigma, and unfortunately, and I said this for a while, the quality of customer service in our country has declined so significantly in the last few years. It's really sad. I mean, I remember when I was a young kid, the customer care was amazing. Thank you. And now it's like every single time you go somewhere, it's like, oh my goodness, you're bothering this person for asking a question or wanting some kind of assistance. And, you know, there's a hospital in my town that's like that. I would rather be driven to Boston, I don't care if my arm is falling off, than to have to go to this hospital, not because it's not a good hospital, but because I do not want to deal with the attitude and the just standoffishness of some of the emergency room personnel, assuming that anybody from this area is, you know, has a drug issue or is poor or is ignorant in thinking that they can treat people that way with disrespect, and that's not a cool thing.
And I think I might know that one, but is it close to us or is it Is it a crush?
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The point is, it's a crappy person. I mean, those people seriously need to learn customer service skills. And I'm not afraid to share with our listeners. I had a horrendous experience a couple of years ago for our listeners. I have recurring migraines, and at times they can get really severe. But I know what to do for them, you know, the quiet, the go rest, take the medicine, that kind of thing. Well, a couple of years ago, I had a really scary experience. I got this particular type of migraine, I forget the name of it right now, where it actually almost mimics like you're having a stroke.
Mm.
And I remember sitting in my office, and I saw the spot, so I knew a migraine was coming. But I couldn't tell the person next to me to call my husband to come pick me up. The person kept looking at me like, what? And I remember, like, trying to write down my husband's number. And in my mind, I saw his number on the piece of paper. Afterwards, when I recuperated, it wasn't. It was scribbled. So what wound up happening is this person called my HMO. They said, get her to the emergency room right away. And when I got to the emergency room, now, I'm dressed in business wear because I was just at work. And when I walked in there, this person also called my husband who met me there. So we're waiting in the emergency room. They had me waiting for 20 minutes. And in those 20 minutes, the effects of this particular type of migraine started passing, but the pain was still very severe. And
right.
My husband kept getting a little bit more aggravated. And now I'm laying down. It almost looked like I had fainted because I was just so weak from the headache. Do you know that when my husband went to talk to this lady and said, look, I need my wife, looked at whatever, this is serious, this woman had the audacity, as loud as all get-go in the middle of the emergency room, say, it looks more to me like maybe she's drunk. And I'm sitting there saying, are you kidding me? Now, at this particular point, I wasn't well enough to say anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get right where you're going, Charlie.
And that's where my husband said, I need to speak to your supervisor. And her supervisor came over, took one look at me, and they brought me right into the thing, talked to the doctor. I had a CAT scan done. The doctor came in, told me, you know, they gave me fluids. They gave me this particular medicine through the IV, so it snapped me out of it. And afterwards, the doctor came over and explained to me what it was. And then that particular nurse had the audacity to come over to the bed, say, oh, it's nice to see you're better. I said, oh, what? I'm not drunk anymore? I said, and for your information, I don't even drink. And I really didn't appreciate you humiliating me like that in front of everybody in the emergency room. You know what she said to me? Oh, it's not like there's anybody that's anybody in there anyway.
Oh, that would have really set me off.
Oh, my God. My
I would have been in that person's face, irregardless of my situation.
It was ridiculous, and I remember complaining, and the doctor was very upset. He came over and apologized, and I know that, you know, whatever happened, happened to her, but that's the kind of mentality that I noticed has been festering a lot in certain areas, and I understand I was a police officer for 20 years. I do understand there's a certain element that we deal with on a day-in, day-out basis, but that doesn't mean everybody is that way, and it just floors me. And that was the other thing that I said to my husband. Here we are, two college-educated people. We're in business attire. Look at the way they're treating us. Can you imagine how they treat some poor welfare mother that, you know, or an immigrant that barely speaks English or someone that doesn't understand the law? It just blew my mind that people could be that ignorant and that rude to someone that was, you know, in a medical situation where they needed assistance.
Oh, I've come across that 100%. On more occasions than not. And believe me, I've complained to even above their supervisors. Because that's how bad I've been treated at time to time.
And you know, and it's funny, to put it on the other way, I have to also admit, I'm going to play devil's advocate because I've been on the other side where these nurses are overworked. You have nurses on the wing that have 4 or 5 patients to take care of at once. They're constantly being, overworked in these situations. Plus, also in the emergency room, again, because a lot of people do not have health insurance, they can't do preventive care. So they have to go to the emergency room. There's nothing else they can do. And that, of course, now you have an emergency room that's being bogged down with things like the flu and strep throat and sprained ankles and small things that could be taken care of in a clinic setting but isn't because these people don't have health insurance. So what winds up happening is, yeah, I understand you're overwhelmed, you're, you know, people are getting aggravated, you've got 25 people in the emergency room waiting to get in there, but the reality is that still does not give you the right to take away somebody's dignity by treating them like they're less than anybody else.
I hear you.
Yeah, but one of the things, too, it's funny because I remember I also had a really good experience years ago when my son was small. We were actually in the wilds of New Hampshire, and we were in the middle of nowhere in the White Mountains, and my son wound up falling and scratching his eye, and I'm talking about the actual eye. And we had to drive 45 minutes to the nearest hospital, which was in a little town called Littleton, and we went over there, and I'm telling you, it blew my mind. The quality of service, the way the people treated us. I mean, to the point that the actual doctor that was on service, on working that night, we were waiting for 40 minutes after they took an x-ray and checked his eye and patched it up, and he told us, please be patient, I need you to wait. What this man did is he called the ophthalmologist, the doctor, the eye doctor.
Ophthalmologist?
No, it wasn't an ophthalmologist. It was an ophthalmologist, because the other one is the one that, like, can put glasses on and stuff. This is an actual eye surgeon specialist.
Okay.
Called him. Now, this is on a Saturday in the middle of the summer. Now, picture this. We've been camping all week. We smell like firewood. We look like hell. Our clothes are dirty. I mean, we had just come back from a hike, and we were in the middle of a heavy wiffle ball tournament, so you can imagine how lovely we smelled at that particular place.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was disgusting. And it's not like, okay, let's go take a shower to take him to the emergency room. We couldn't.
Right.
He actually had us waiting for 40 minutes after he patched my son up, called the eye specialist in on a Saturday to come down and look at my son's eye to make sure that there wasn't any damage that he might have missed. It blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. And it gets even better. He gave us a sheet, said, make sure when you get back, he's like, you know, it's all set. Luckily, it didn't scratch the visual area. It was, you know, in the white part. It'll heal fine. Just keep it covered. Keep them out of the sun. No infection, whatever. We actually wind up leaving the next day. Well, he actually called, like, 2 or 3 days later to follow up. The doctor, not the nurse, not the... called us to follow up to say, how's he doing? Did you follow up with the specialist? And okay, people can argue, well, it's a little bum town. They probably never see anything like this. I don't care. The quality of service was phenomenal. And the other thing that blew my, when I took him to I took my son to the eye and ear infirmary in Boston, was when we actually had that specialist look at it. He just was blown away by the quality of service that they did with the way they patched his eye, the care that they put into it. And the reality is, had it not been for that, there was a possibility that my son's vision could have been affected for a very long time. And luckily, there's no repercussions from that injury at all. So the reality is that why is it that supposedly some hip town in New Hampshire can have such amazing quality service? Yet here in Massachusetts, where we have these phenomenal doctors, phenomenal facilities, they're lacking. And the other thing that blew my mind, and you can attest to this, is Mass General Hospital, humongous hospital, sees people in and out, and they deal with the worst of the worst because they also have a psych unit where, you know, people that have mental issues or psychotic breaks. That, yet I took my other son there once, and their customer service was, again, phenomenal, treated him with respect, treated us with dignity. I was even watching one of the nurses who was dealing with a gentleman that was obviously having some kind of mental illness. He was a homeless man, didn't exactly smell like roses, yet they treated him with dignity and respect until they could get him the care he needed. So the reality is what it can be done. It can be done where we can treat people with dignity and respect. But it all comes back to us, and we have to speak up and make sure that we demand this. We ask the questions that need to be asked and not be afraid to say, well, no, it's okay. No, it is not okay. Because their lack of care or attention to detail can mean the difference between an illness being going into remission, you healing from it, or can result in that person dying or you having to suffer longer than they need to because it wasn't taken care of when it should have. So
right.
I think that that's something that our listeners should really think about. Why don't you give them the number again?
I was just, wow.
Yeah, I know. Brainwave, it hit me. Wow.
But you want to know something? I was already thinking about that 2 minutes ago before we went on this little spiel.
That's awesome.
The number is 347-989-1473. And you
this
can also...
The website is www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. WMN, and you can go into our segment page, the Diamond in the Rough Show, and you can see the segments from the past, some of the links that we've put up on there. You can come into the chat room, say, hey, what's up, what's going on, or give us a call. Right now, what I'd like to do, I'd like to take a little break and play one of these songs. Let's see. I actually want to hear The Fighter because I'm in the... Oh, actually, no, you know what? I think we'll save The Fighter. I want to hear Rhea, because Rhea's going to be coming up on our show in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So we'll reacquaint people. So we're going to hear Flake by Rhea Eaton, and Muttman, you can take that away and play that song.
Okay. And welcome back.
That was Rhea Eaton with her single Flake, and we actually going to have a couple more songs that she has done that she sent to me, and I'm actually going to save it for when she's on the show in a couple of weeks. So, yes, one of the things that I have right here, I actually brought it up. If you guys go to Facebook and you look up the A3D Inc., it's the African Development Through Drum and Dance. That's their page on Facebook. They're actually having an event this weekend. It's called Volunteer with A3D at the IMEC Corporation. It's the International Medical Equipment Collaborative, and they are located in North Andover. So this Saturday, January 23rd, if you are in the North Andover area, they will be there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's also going to be a shuttle for people if you're in the Salem area. They're going to be leaving from Salem at 8:45 a.m. if you want to go there. They'll be meeting on Washington Street in Salem. One of the things they plan to do is they'll be volunteering. The facility is located in North Andover, like we said. You'll get a tour of the facility, and then you'll help bundle up packages of medical equipment that's going to be shipped overseas for people in need. It's a great opportunity for all of you to learn how IMEC works, what they're about, what they do, and get some experience working with that sort of facility. So it should be a good time. If you'd like to participate, you can reach my main woman, Deborah Crosby, and her number is 781-910-8083, and you can reach her. Just give her a call either today or tomorrow and let her know that you want to go. Invite your friends, family, coworkers, the more the merrier.
Now, here's
again.
My question.
Yes.
Are you going to be volunteering this weekend?
Actually, I'm not, because that was my next event. I'm actually going to be in Maine that weekend. We're having a photo shoot and a movie shoot. But before that, we're going to be at the blood drive. They're going to be a blood drive in the morning. I'll be there for a couple of hours before I have to go off and finish my commitment to that movie. But the great thing to remember is that, again, they're located at International Medical Equipment Collaborative. That is on 1600 Osgood Street, O-S-G-O-O-D Street, North Andover, 01845. Again, you can go on to Facebook and Google them, and you will be able to find it. It's the A3DInc.org. Again, if you want to get information, it's the www.A3DINC.org. More information. So, yeah, that'll be a worthwhile event to go out there and help out. So, Mountain Man.
What is going on tonight? I think we're going to have to change our description here.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here? Were there any confirmations?
Absolutely. But it's all right. Scotty just hit me up. He'll be calling in a little while. I'm really excited to hear what he's up to, because he started a whole new movement called the Music Revolution. It's actually the independent music movement. Scotty's vision. I'm thinking of Bobby Collins, this kid from my son's school. That's so funny. One of the things that Scott has been trying to do, Scotty Mack, is get the independent artists together to be able to collaborate with each other and help each other out, be able to get more exposure and be able to get themselves out there and seen and heard and maybe do a little something with their music. So I'm really excited that he'll be joining us in a few minutes and looking forward to that. I think there was another announcement that I wanted to make, and now I cannot find it.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's all good. It's all fine. We'll find it
and
anyway.
I am going to try something this evening.
Oh, no.
Yes, I am, because I want to, you gave me a challenge within the last week about our switchboard. So I am going to try something and see if I can screen the person before.
Oh, that'll be interesting. See, we're so high-techy here. Our studio actually has the capacity to screen calls before they come in, but we're kind of not messed with them yet, because we're like, what if we disconnect someone?
So,
which we've done in the past, which is why I do not touch the switchboard, because I keep disconnecting people.
And so, but to our listeners, Charlie did ask me one day to kind of do some research about our switchboard and everything and try to get more familiarized because, as you just heard, I end up doing the switchboard a little bit more than she does because she and that is great experience for me.
Oh, and Mountain Man thinks he's like, oh, you need to come over and show me how to do it. No, my man, you need to get on there, go to the tutorials, read, look, listen, and you will learn and be a whiz at this because that's the amazing thing about this. They actually walk you through it. They have tutorials and stuff. So, yeah, Mountain Man is going to be a genius with this stuff by the time he's done. Can't wait.
And who knows? I may just end up going and doing their free thing and do my own talk show. Hi, hi.
There you go. Do your own talk show, man. Go out there. Explore. Be free.
Oh, but I want to be able to get the experience with somebody. And Charlie is just one of those awesome, amazing young ladies to be able to have this experience.
No, you can't borrow any money. Nope, you can't borrow any money. I'm broke. Nope, nope, nope. No money for you.
Who said anything about money?
Well, anytime someone's giving me a compliment, it's usually because they want to, like, borrow some money or something. And I'm like, nope. No money.
But who says I want to borrow any money? What if it may be something else?
Oh, I know. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention, not money. But for you guys, I was so excited. A while ago, I had this gentleman, John Hartman, for those of you that might remember, he was actually on our show when Eric Eastman was on. He is a director, producer, writer, cinematographer, jack of all trades. He's a musician. And they actually have a web episode series called The Quest for the Indie Tube. And if you guys haven't had the opportunity to check them out, you really, really should. It's a real great show. It's kind of like they're on the third episode, just came out. It's, if you guys remember, I don't know if you remember, Mountain Man, do you remember the old Doctor Who series on Channel 2?
Yes, I do.
It's a little bit like that. It's a little reminiscent of that. And the thing with John's cinematography that I love, it's very trippy and new wavy, and he does a lot of really cool tricks with the camera angles. He's very daring with that. He's always trying new camera angles and new approaches to film the stuff. So I thought it was a really great experience. He actually did a full-length movie called The Bridge Crusader. If you guys haven't had the chance to see it, I'm telling you, it was awesome. I got the opportunity to actually see it on the big screen. We went to the Regent Theater down in Arlington, and they had a screening for it there. And it was just awesome. Got to see it on the white screen. So I was flabbergasted when he actually he reached out to me and says, you know, I got this little part in this series that I would love to have you be in. And it's kind of cheating because I did get to play a cop, which to me that's not acting. That's just me being me. I mean, it's not that far of a stretch. But yes, since I'm fairly new to the film industry, one of the very cool things about it was this is actually the first time I actually got to see something that I'm actually in it. And
awesome.
Don't miss me. I mean, I'm actually where you can actually see me. I have a little bit of a line, which I thought was wicked cool. I'm getting a link for you guys if you want to go check it out.
And just to reiterate something, you're welcome, Deborah Skadoodle. Anytime we can do a shout out, we will do that shout out. Because she just popped into our chat room and say thank you for the A3D project.
Oh, cool.
So anytime. And yes.
Absolutely.
And she's...
she said what?
And she loved hearing Rhea's song as well.
That's cool. Yeah, Rhea's my woman. She can sing her butt off. The website for the IndieTube, if you go to www.quest.com, for the Indie Tube, QUESTFORTHEINDIETUBE, quest for the indie tube.com. If you click on that, you will be able to catch up on the prior two episodes and be able to see episode 3, which is way cool, and that's the one that I happen to be in. If you're from the New England area, you'll find some places, like the amazing Eric Eastman is in it, the phenomenal actress Sarah Nicholson, she's actually Reed now because she got married. You'll get to see some Alexander Lewis, amazing actor. I mean, he just blows my mind. He's so good at what he does. So you'll get to see a lot, like Emily Lampkin is in it, Mark Boyan, Sarah Newcomb. There's just a lot of amazing talent in this particular movie, I mean, episodes. And it's a treat. And also to remind our listeners that the music that you hear in the background is actually John. He wrote the song, wrote the music, and performed it. So that'll give you the opportunity to check that out, www.questsoftheindietube.com. And on that note, we are at the 8 o'clock hour. My buddy Scott will be calling in soon, but in the meantime, there's another song that I haven't heard in a while, and I really want to hear it.
What song is that, my friend?
I wanted to hear Amanda's song, but I don't see it. Boo-hoo. Boo.
Wait one second.
Yep, it's not on there. I have her segment. We actually replayed her whole segment a while back because she was so phenomenal we wanted to do a redo on her. Actually, you know what? Mountain Man hit me up with Legendary. That sounds like it would be a perfect intro for before my man Scotty comes on the show.
Okay, Legendary, where are you? Oh, right there you are.
So for our listeners, this is Legendary.
When they mention the best, I kill songs, I'm ill, I'm built strong, I'm above most these rappers, I'm standing with stilts on, they see me still here and they ask if he's still on, without a question, he's a legend, the skills are still strong, need a boost to make it better, I can better the booth, I better other soldiers in the field like medical troops, I better the
youth. The proof, I could never be you. I see my future real clear, like I'm ahead of the truth. I'm so dope, they get addicted to me. So I don't write rhymes, I have to go prescription or free. I keep it hot, every drop, by any means necessary. You might be good, but consider me legendary.
Go, say what you want. Corporate, we saw your witness in a legend in the making. Go, say what you want. Corporate, we saw your witness in a legend in the making.
And that was Legendary by Cardiac. Sacrifice, Stitchu, and Miss Jess. And that is a family project. That is, Jessie's actually the vocalist. She does the chorus.
And she's done an awesome job.
Well, thank you. And the three boys, they're brothers. They do the three separate verses. And for those of you that didn't realize, it was kind of cool. They actually went off individually. They had all heard the instrumentals, the hook, as it, I mean, the track as you hear it. And when they heard that, they kind of said, okay, this is what we want to do, and they went off individually, and they each wrote their own verse. So what they actually perform on the CD, they also wrote themselves. And then the older boy, Cardiac, actually wrote the chorus for Jess, and that's kind of like they felt. And it was funny because they got when they got into the studio and did it, it was funny for them how the three pieces came together along with the chorus that Jesse performed. So that was, that was Legendary by Cardiac, Sacrifice, Stitchu, and Jess on the chorus. Some good stuff. Also, to let our listeners know, Cardiac, we talked about him a lot. Cardiac will be performing at the Roxy Nightclub in Boston Friday for the Jacqueline Fighting Association. So they're going to have a big fight coming up in Boston, and he'll be there performing, so do not miss it. That'll be Friday night at the Roxy in downtown Boston. Check that out. Should be some good times. Another person that'll be on the show later on in the month is my man, Joey Irish McCready. Joey has won his last two or three bouts, and he's got another one coming up in a couple of weeks. He'll be at Twin Rivers Casino in February. I'll make sure I get the date for you. If you want to go down there and watch some good fights, have some good times, that's place to be. So I'll get the information for you later on. You can actually log on to the website, get the tickets if you want to go down there, and that'll be in Rhode Island the second week, I think, in February. So I'll make sure I get you guys the information to that.
And good thing I had the phone on mute, because we've got... Nah, it's not what I did. We've got some action going on over here on the property. And for those
what
who
are you doing?
I live in Lowell, Massachusetts in a garden-style apartment, and the fire department is actually on premises, and all of a sudden we've started to hear the sirens coming closer and closer and closer, and...
Oh, see, that's what happens when you burn the house down. Our show must be real hot. We're setting off the fire alarms over in Mountain Man's location there.
No, I think it's...
Serious.
I think it's down in one of our other buildings, but it was just surprising to see and hear the sirens coming closer, and as they come closer to my door, the sound was getting louder and louder, and I'm just thankful that we had Legendary playing, and anytime that these folks come on the premises, I end up usually running out there to see what is going on, but I couldn't because I had a very important job to do tonight. But at least I've got a scanner so I can hear what's happening, but I have it turned down on low, so our listeners won't be able to hear what's going on.
I know. Another announcement that I'd like to make, again, Facebook is like a wealth of information. If you go to Facebook.com and you look up Ann Marhall's profile, she is actually, she runs the LDI casting agency in Rhode Island. She is actually on the chair committee for the Alzheimer's Association auction. That's scheduled for March, and they're looking for donations for the auction. So she says, if you have anything, everything is welcome. She's thanking everybody in advance. So if you go to Facebook and you look up for Anne, A-N-N-E, Mulhall, M-U-L-H-A-L-L, she is on the chair for the Alzheimer's Association auction, and you're looking for donations of services, currency, anything that you might have to donate. If you're handy and you make amazing crafts like blankets or cool stuff like that, if you happen to have a timeshare that you wouldn't mind donating the week for, or any other equipment if you're a business and have products that you would want to get some free exposure and donate, make sure you hit Ann up. All you have to do is go and befriend her, leave her a message, and I'm sure she'll greatly appreciate any contribution she can get. So that is that with Ann. And is my man Scotty in the building yet?
No, he's not, and I'm wondering.
I told him not to call until after 8:10 because I know we have all the housekeeping to take care of and all that kind of stuff. So he should be up.
Well, I'm going to, since you were given plugs, and if you want to friend me, you can look me up on Facebook as well and become a friend of mine as well.
There you go. And Mountain Man, how can they look you up?
They can look me up on Facebook at Mountain Man or Mountain Man 12. I think I gave Mountain Man 12 out last week. But you can also go on to Blog Talk Radio / Mountain Man or something like that. I forget how I set it up. But
oh,
you can also.
Great. You want people to look you up if you can't find yourself. Way to go, dude. Come find me.
Hey,
you
I wanted.
That's too funny. Oh,
hey,
my goodness.
We've all had these days where we I've had a long day. I'm actually exhausted. I haven't had a chance to lay down at all because of a meeting I've had.
Cry me a river, you poor thing. Long, long days. Oh, man. Oh, real quick, that reminds me. Talking about Facebook also. Hold on. Talking about Facebook also, if you guys go to Facebook, look up Zanti Kiry, Zantekry. If you're interested in working in a movie, if you've ever wanted to figure out what it was like to be in a movie, they're actually working on a post-apocalypse shoot in Massachusetts. It's going to be around April. He has the full details, and you can just message him on Facebook. They're looking for crew and cast. And I've worked with him before, and let me tell you, it's a fun shoot. You don't get paid, obviously, because it's an independent movie, but the experience you get, they feed you good, you have a good time. They usually throw a heck of a cast party afterwards, so... again, look him up, Zantekry, on Facebook if you're interested in being in a movie. Take it away, Mountain Man.
I'm not sure if he's all heard me, but we've got Scotty in the house.
Building. All right.
Hold on. Let me patch him through. Hey, Scotty, how are ya?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, Scotty, how's it going? Finally, man, we get to get you on the show. How's it going out in Detroit City?
Oh, it's cool, man. You know, I'm out here grinding, you know, doing my independent music thing, you know.
This is kind of cool because I was talking about you on the show Tuesday saying, you know, it's usually funny because when you're the DJ or you're the host of a show, you're usually the one asking all the questions and being all up nosy in everybody's business. And it's kind of cool when they turn the wheels around on the chair and have you in the hot seat. So I'm kind of excited that we get to hear about you and what you're up to. Now, Scotty, I want to ask you real quick, how did you get into music? What interests you about it? And when did you know that this is something that you wanted to do with your life?
Well, I've been in music ever since, like, rap first started. You know, I knew when I first heard Sugar Hill Gang, I said, this is what I want to do. You know, so I rapped for years, you know, for a long, long time. And all my influences are old school. Big Daddy Kane, Run DMC, mm-hmm. you know, Schoolie D, all of those tight mm-hmm. cats, you know. So I rapped and rapped for years, but the point I'm at now, you know, I'm on a different page, you know, with the music tip now.
So where did the inspiration come for getting your own show?
Well, I noticed that a lot of people didn't have an outlet to be heard, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, I could change that. So, you know, I took the proper steps and I, you know, built my fan base up and everything. And I just one day I woke up and I started the show and it took off way bigger than what I thought it would. It's a whole movement now. So, you know, it's like really amazing me every day. I got, you know, I got four or five chapters in other states now with presidents running them, you know, and they got, you know, 20, 30 people up under them. So it's turning to something way bigger than I envisioned at first.
Now, my thing is, to back it up a little bit, you formed this group. What's the group called, and what exactly is the concept behind it?
Okay, the name of what I do is called IMM, the Independent Music Movement. And it started, we play all independent music, and we interview independent artists every week, you know. And we actually, this will be our year coming up, February 3rd, I want to say that we've been doing it. And also, besides that, we take any type of promotional material that any artist may have, whether it's CDs, posters, flyers, whatever, from anywhere, all over the world, and we promote it for them in our region. And now we'll be able to promote it in other regions, you know, mainly like the East Coast and the Southern states that we really touched on now.
So this is it's funny because people are probably sitting there going, why didn't somebody think of this sooner? But one of the things that we hear a lot about, especially in the rap and hip-hop game, is that it's very cliquish, very standoffish, which I found to not be true. I mean, yeah, there's some people that, as we call them, haters, they're just hating on people because they're trying to do something. But what have you found with the artists that you've been working for? What has the reception been to your idea?
I get so much love. I mean, everybody embraced it with open arms because they said exactly what you said. You know, no, everybody's like, why didn't anybody ever think of this? So, you know, I get embraced with open arms, and I've actually rubbed elbows with, you know, a few known people, too, who I didn't even know were listening to my show, and they really respect what I'm doing, you know. So I haven't got any type of negative or bad feedback at all on it.
Now, Scott, I have a question because this is something that I know a lot of people have a misconception about what rap is about. And unfortunately, like anything else, and this is something that I've discovered, you hear about, okay, there's the gang members and the song is negative, it portrays this message. But the reality is that it's funny because for years, rock has done that too, you know, like heavy metal bands and, you know, the bands that, you know, these guys were getting messed up on drugs and all these issues that were going on. But they don't have that negative connotation like rap does. What do you think is the reason that rap had the negative reputation attached to it so much?
Well, I would say because rap, you know, there's a difference between hip-hop and rap, you know, a big, huge difference. But I would say the overall hip-hop movement has always been the voice of those who have never been heard. So the voice of the streets, really. And I tell people all the time, if you were to cut on the 6 o'clock news in a major city, you would actually hear what we rap about, you know, what rappers rap about, you know. It's just a little bit more blunt. And I think that it gets attacked because of the bluntness, you know. But, I mean, it's really reality.
Right, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, and because I work in the movie industry, it just blows my mind of the double standard, because you have the different ratings for movies. So you know what you're watching. You know, you have the R-rated movie or the PG-13, PG, general, whatever. So you can make an educated guess as a consumer to what movie you want to watch. But it seems to me that that really never existed as far as music was concerned. It was all G or nothing at all.
Right.
So do you find that that's the reason why your concept has taken off?
Yeah, because I don't judge. You know, I really believe that's why it's taken off. Like, a lot of people don't know that I'm really into hip-hop and rap and everything, but also at the same time, I'm working with a rock group. You know, and I got a neo-soul group and an R&B group that I'm really concentrating on them also. And they have the same problem that, that most rappers have is that they can't be heard. You know, the rock group, I'm not gonna lie, they go pretty hard, but they're good. And
right.
they just don't have an outlet to be heard, you know.
Mhm. You know, and it's very true that I find that because again, because Cardiac does the music and I help him with his promotion on the internet and that kind of stuff. It
mm-hmm.
just blows my mind the caliber of talent that I keep running into. And no disrespect to the artists that are over already made. I understand you've done it big, but one of the things that blows my mind is how repetitive and cookie cutter everything that's on regular radio is. It's basically the same sound. For example, the other day I was listening to a song that came on, and for a split second, it was almost like I couldn't tell the difference if it was this singer or that singer because they're sounding so much like each other. Yet in the underground independent movement, the sounds are so different and there's so much talent. Where do you see this going in the future as far as being able to give them more exposure?
Well, I see it. I have an overall vision. I'm not going to spill the vision just yet. But I see it taking over a big part of the industry. You know, there's a point when you're doing something only for so long that people have to, you know, they have to accept what you're doing and they have to recognize what you're doing. It's kind of funny you mentioned it because I just was about 3 days ago, I got an email from a known, we'll say, satellite station, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're owned by a record label who wants to buy out my idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's not worth it to people that follow me and that love me. I would be selling out completely, and so it wouldn't be my idea anymore. And they want to buy everything. And basically, to not get off into the particulars of it, they want to gag order me for 5 years. So I can't have anything to do with the show. So
now,
I know that it's being noticed.
Do you notice that happens a lot where the little guy gets bought out and silenced, literally, and then your idea actually gets twisted into something that it's not?
Yeah, it'll be mainstream, and that's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like it independent. You know, I really like it independent. I got to give a huge shout-out to Cardiac. He's a big reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm so far into it. He really, really... I love that boy. He got so much love for me, you know. He's a real, real good guy, you know. Reached out from a whole other state, and, you know, I consider him a friend. You know, everything that we go through together, you know, we go through a lot just on the phone, you know, in each other's lives. But he's a good dude.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. And that's one of the things that I've always encouraged people that I work with, because I hate that mentality of, oh, it's me, and there's not enough room for other people. That is further from the truth, because I don't care how close you think your genre or your style is to someone else, it's still not the same. The ideas are different.
Right.
The concepts are different. Now, you have a crew with you that does the show. Can you tell us a little bit about them and how you guys got together?
Yeah, I got a Stewpot. He does, the sports segment. I got Jay Voorhees. He's taking a little break right now. He's going through some things. I got Pops. He's on there. He does a sports segment with Stu. Those are the more immediate people. I got Tasha. Now she gives the woman's point of view on different things, and we're all basically family. You know, whenever you have a business, you go through things, but you learn to, you know, get through them. But we tight-knit family, and we try to keep the interest with the people. And I got over 4,000 listeners a month, so evidently we're doing something right.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I would love to share with our listeners, real quick, I'll give them your website. It's independentmusicgroup.com.
Independent Music Movement.
Movement.com.
Podomatic.com.
Check them out. That'll take you to the segment page, and you'll see the podcast there. You can catch up on the older shows. And one of the things that, again, it bothers me a little bit, because some adults act like, okay, everything's got to be kiddie-friendly, but it's not. I mean, there are times that my husband and I will go on a date, and we want to go see a movie, and it's an R-rated movie, not something that we would have had our kids watch when they were younger because of the blood or the gore. Right. And the thing is that some of the music that you play will be very edgy. They'll have swears in it, but they're making a point. They're saying a message. And it just bugs my mind where people have no problem hearing the F-bomb dropped in a movie 100 times for no reason, but then if it's dropped in a song that's making a legitimate point, it's like, can they do that, you know, kind of thing. Can you explain a little bit what you think causes that?
It's, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation the other day about this. It's so crazy. And you brought this up a little earlier, the double standard when it comes with movies and with music. You know, it's crazy. You'll take your child to see, let's pull some out there, let's say Terminator or something like that. You know what I mean? People getting shot up and killed and blown up. But that's okay for them to see that, but not okay for them to hear, you know, something else. And it's just such a double standard. I mean, and I don't. And it's not, rap is just being attacked so tough, but it's always been like that. I mean, blues, rock and roll, you know, every genre of music, country, it's all been attacked by what we say, but you don't see movie theaters being picketed for what they play.
See, and that's a very good point, and that's something that, again, I totally can understand with you. And it's funny because I get looked at like, well, I can't believe you are on their side. Like, who's they? It's just the fact that when you're an artist and you want to share your art, the parents a lot lately I've noticed that they want everybody else to do their job for them, and you can't have that. If this, like, I know for me, my rule was until my boys were 14, they had to listen to what I called, you know, sugar pop, the sweet stuff. So that once you hit 14, you're old enough to be able to start making decisions about what you're listening to. Was I going to let them go watch an X-rated movie? Absolutely not. But I wanted them to get an understanding and an appreciation for the different art forms. And the reality is, for the most part, they made very good choices. They make very good choices. And now, as you've seen, because you talk about Cardiac can give you a very edgy, hard song where there are swears in it, and he's talking about some subjects that might make you uncomfortable, but at the same token, there's depth to the lyrics.
Yeah.
And I noticed a lot of that with your artists as well. And it's almost like being silenced from expressing the true emotions that are coming through. But the ironic thing is sometimes these people will be using that same language in front of their children and not think twice about it. But because it's in a song, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, you can't do that. Do you ever see it changing where there's actually going to be more venues like the one that you're creating for artists that have songs like that?
Yes, I do. Actually, I've watched a few venues, a few people begin to start doing what I'm doing and paying more attention to it. It's cool to me. It's flattering to me. You know, usually he who starts the trend controls the trend. You know, so I get a lot of people who want to start this up, and then they ask me their input, and I'm willing to help anybody. If you can take this movement any further than what I took it, I will help you 100%, hands down, because I don't do this for money. I do it for the love of the art. But I do see it, you know, I see it expanding very rapidly within this year, you know, just on my end on what I'm doing, and, you know, a couple other people I know that's, you know, trying to start it up.
Now, another thing, too, you're a prime example of the power of the Internet networking abilities if you use them correctly. I know a lot of people complain, again, about the same things, oh, the Internet's full of garbage and this and that, or the Internet is, you know, a sponge that's sucking my kid's brain dry, whatever. But the reality is that the Internet, it's a golden tool. Like I tell any artist, you literally have gold at your fingertips if the time that you spend online is being used productively. If you're just chatting with some girl because you want to pick her up or you're playing dominoes or whatever, that's a waste of time. But you have been able to use it in ways that has helped you grow. Can you share a little bit of how you've networked, some of the ways that you've been able to reach out to other artists in other states?
Well, with the Internet, what I found out with the Internet is, you know, the radio basically is limited to its area. The Internet, you know, you got the whole world. I found guys online who have gone platinum just online, you know.
Right.
And it amazes me why so many artists are utilizing it. You know, I mean, like you said, you got gold at your fingertips. You can be whatever you want behind that screen, behind that keyboard. You can create your life, you know. And I would advise any artist out there, utilize the internet. I mean, it's the biggest free means that you have. If you Google my name, if you Google Scotty Mac, S-C-O-T-T-E-M-A-C, mm-hmm. I'm all over it, you know, but it took me work. But that way people will, you know who you are. You got to do a lot of work, but it's the best means you can have, though. I mean, as an artist trying to get out there, I get a lot of artists ask me, and I tell them, use the internet. That's your best means. You know, use the internet. The radio will come. They'll come and search for you if you're making enough buzz, you know, if your buzz is hot enough.
Right, yeah, and exactly. That's a very important thing for artists to remember, that they do need to put the work into it. And it's no longer about selling the CDs from the back of your trunk. You know what I mean? It goes beyond
mm-hmm.
that. And you said, even if you go on a site and making conversation, you know, you put your link in, whatever it takes for you. And I know I've seen it where I've taken some of my clients and literally they have 20, 30 networking sites or music sites that they're members of. And they're able to, like you said, when the search is done, their name comes up and people start noticing. And trust me, the A&Rs from the record labels, the artist reps, they look at that. They don't want to have to do a ton of work
right.
with the artist. They want someone that's already on their way to have name recognition.
Yeah, they don't understand. I mean, the music's going to be free in the next 5 years anyway, you know.
Right.
And A lot of artists need to realize that, you know, you want to sell these CDs and all this and that. The best way to do it is to put up a song every month or so, or every couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
and give it up for free download. You know, people respect that. And you really don't make money selling CDs. You make it when you're bookable, when people book you and pay you for shows. And that's where you make your money. You know, you're putting all this money, I got to do my album. Do your album and put it up for free download. If you're hot, you're hot. If you're not, you're just not. And the internet is the best way, you know, to figure that out.
You know, and that's a good point that you bring up, because I know that when you're an artist and you create something, that's your baby. You think it's the next best thing. Oh, this is going triple platinum. And then your homeboys are listening to it like, seriously, dude, that's not that good. And we might get offended by it, but what better way to gauge where your music is going and what you need to improve on? And like you say, with the free downloads, you get the exposure. People are listening to you. If it's something that's not good, you pull it, you redo it. If it's something that you know it's hot, then you know what direction to head in. Now, now with your music movement, what exactly does the membership entail, and what are you looking to be able to do for those that become members?
Okay, as far as the right now, I am looking for presidents in different states. What it entails, you know, rolling with us and being with our group and everything, is that whoever you have, you know, like your street team and your couple artists. It all includes promotion for them in other states. Mm-hmm. All of us interact with each other. So you may send your music to me, but I may send it overseas to North Korea, or I may send it to New Jersey, or I may send it down to, you know, in the D.C., or I may send it down to, you know, Tennessee, depending, you know, what you give me. And it really just gets you a lot of exposure. And I'm actually about to do a whole site with everybody who's involved with the movement where I promote them online also. So then if you're rolling with us, when the name is Google, you come up with it also. Your name pops up also.
Right.
You know, so it'll get you a lot. It'll get you a lot of exposure.
Not only that, the good thing that I know it's difficult, because I know there's a lot of sites that say, yeah, we'll get you booked. You know, you put in your name, you become a member, you have your electronic press kit, you choose what venues you get submitted to, and that's all well and good. Okay, and then maybe you will get booked or whatever, but you have no clue what this venue looks like. You don't know where it is. You have no feel for it whatsoever. So in your instance, you actually have a live person that has been there, done that, knows what it's like. How valuable is that to an artist coming in from another state?
It's very valuable, you know. It's very valuable. I mean, like, we're putting together a tour, a five-state tour, and I want to take, you know, the hottest artists that I'm dealing with right now that are part of the movement. And we're going to tour Michigan, you know, Baltimore, Boston, New Jersey, Delaware. I mean, we're going to tour it. And as you know, the more tours you do, you know, the more cities you hit, the more you'll get booked for.
Right.
You know, it's very important for artists to cross-network, to reach out to other states. You know, I used to believe when I first started rapping that you had to, your immediate neighborhood had to love you. And that's cool, but then you only have a bunch of yes men around you. You know, everybody's, oh, yeah, that's nice. And in reality, it just may not be. I give you the means to really get feedback heard. I mean, if you give me a stuff, I got a whole team that I go to with DJs that they don't care who you are, what you're doing. They're going to listen to your music and send you back a report on what they think is good and what's not good. You know, and then that determines how far we continue our relationship, you know what I mean, as far as the movement goes. Is if, you know, will I take you on tour with me? Will I not? Will you need to work on something? But you need that type of input to even advance anymore, because I could take you to a state and nobody can like you. And then, you know, I don't, you know, that's a whole other story. Oh, you know, no, you know, I don't want nobody be mad at me, and, you know, and I didn't give them my honest opinion.
But, you know, you need that. That's very important, and I know that that's, some artists don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that, no, you're not fire. You seriously, you are really stinking up the joint, and we need to work on you. And it's funny because people forget, and no, I wasn't there when this happened, but I've heard stories. In the 50s and 60s, when an artist was up and coming, and, I mean, you know, you've heard of the Buddy Holly and the Richie Valens, that's exactly what they did. They put these four or five artists that were virtually unknown, and they trekked from city to city, playing in these different venues for the exact same purpose that you're talking about. And in those days, it was even harder because there wasn't the instant communication with the internet or the cell phones or the ability to get that all out. So I think that that's an amazing idea, because the ability for it to work is even more available now because of the instant buzz that you can get. Because if someone sees your show, they're going to be, you know, tweeting it. They're going to put it on Facebook, on MySpace, on all these websites. And now people are going to be like, oh, who is this Scotty Mac, or who is this Cardiac, or who's this other artist? And they start Googling, and that's how it starts. Now, another question that I want to ask you is, you talk about looking for presidents in other states. What would that entail, and why is it that you want those?
Okay, to be a president in your state, the first requirement that I have is that you have to be doing something. You can't just say, hey, I want to run it in my state, and you're not, or your city, and you're not even involved in music. You have to have some type of experience. You know, I don't want to say don't come to me if you've been doing it 6 months. You know, give it a couple years. If you've been doing it a couple years and you got some connections and some clubs and venues, then we can work from there. And as far as, like, what it would come with as being the president, basically I'm going to fly out every month to meet all my presidents, and then we would kind of kick it around, and then it would give your crew, each president has at least 20 to 30 people up under them. I prefer that they have more street team members than artists. It's impossible for me to work with 30 different artists. It's just too hard, you know. And it makes sure that, you know, I would take your chapter and promote it just as hard as I'm doing any other one, you know, and put your name out there with it, you know, and have your crew, you know, just as out there as you know, what I'm doing.
Now, a question. When you have these members, let's say you have 20, 30, or 40 people in a chapter, is everybody going to be technically an artist, or are some of these people going to be street teamers, or some of them going to be promoters? How do you envision that happening?
Well, we'll have a lot more promoters and street teamers than we will artists, you know. Mm-hmm. Like right now, if I had, let's throw a number up. If I had 1,000, you know, the people that, you know, are working for me all over the country, they can't all be artists. It's impossible. No label has ever done that. And no, I'm not saying I'm a label, but you feel me? I mean, just, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Kind
of, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody can do that. So I would like way more street teamers, because the more street teamers or promoters you have, the more your word gets out there. You know, so if I send a whole package of Michigan music and Ohio music, let's say out to Baltimore, and I don't have any street team members but three, I'm not, what was the purpose of me ever even, you know, starting chapters up if they're all artists? Artists usually, and this is crazy with artists, they're usually selfish about themselves, because I'm an artist too. So it's kind of hard for an artist to become a street team member also. They usually, if you're an artist, you're going to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't expect another artist to pass out another artist stuff. I mean, that would be cool if they did, but I don't expect it. So that's why I don't want so many of them, you know.
Right. So it's almost, is it going to be kind of technically almost like, okay, you have your label mates where those are the artists and then everybody else, like the street teamers and promoters, would fall under like a different category, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it would be.
Now, my question is, if a person wanted to be a street teamer, what would be the incentive for them to do that?
Well, what we do for the street teamers, we make sure that they always have, they stay in T-shirts, you know, constantly have T-shirts, constantly have promotional material. Any shows that we do anywhere, they're there. We need them there, you know, if it's close, if it's feasible for them. If it's not feasible for them, that's understandable. But if, like, I'm in Jersey and you can get to New York, that's cool. Because while whoever the artists are performing, the street teamer's job, you know, of course, is to pass out whatever promotional material they have. So, you know, that's their incentive. And also, we're working on a lot of different things for the street teamers, you know, more incentives for them. Right now, the artists would be more, they would have more incentives, like we'd be able to pay for the studio time, you know, and cover, you know, costs for different things. That's all kind of up in the air. I'll be meeting with the presidents I have so far within the next month or two, and everything will be finalized, I'd say no later than about March or April.
That's excellent. Now, I have another question. I know you said mostly about the artists. What if you have someone, do you have to be an artist to be a president of a chapter in a state, or can it be somebody that is involved with the music industry but not necessarily a performer?
Yeah, you don't have to be an artist. You can be someone who's just involved in the industry and you just, you know, you want to take it a little further. The cool thing with even having an ex-artist is they kind of know the ins and outs of things, but I'm not strictly looking for anyone who used to be an artist or is an artist. If you are a promoter, if you have venues, if you print flyers, you know, whatever you do, if it has to do with the industry, movie or music, we can work together. We can work it out.
That's excellent. Now, another question. Do you envision your movement actually becoming an actual label and actually being able to create and groom upcoming artists?
Yeah, that's it's funny you said that. That's probably, that's like my end envision of this. You know, I got a side label. You probably see it a lot when I'm shouting it out on Facebook. Grindhouse. You know, and that Grindhouse is my side label, and that's going to be the ending result of all of this, is that we to skip past the majors. You know, that if you got real talent, you can come to us, and if nothing else, we'll help you. If we, you know, nothing else, we will get your name out there.
Right. Now, do you also see, as far as that now, are you eventually going to be signing these artists to contracts for you or trying to get them signed through other labels? How do you envision that working once you get them the exposure?
Well, oddly enough, this is crazy. You know, I've had people, you know, they've asked me that, and really kind of my answer is, when it comes to that, I really don't like to see artists get hooked up with these majors, you know, because you're basically signing the devil's contract, if you ask me. You know, they're going to bleed you to it. Yeah, they're going to bleed you. And nobody has to sign a contract with me or sign to what I'm doing. We are built on helping you, showing you how to do it on your own, that you don't need a major label. You really don't. People are tricked into believing that, artists are. You don't need that. You just need you.
It's funny, too, because that's funny. My husband and I were talking about this the other day. The music industry has shifted so much in the other direction, because before, if you didn't have a label behind you, you weren't going anywhere. It's not like now. Now, the ability of an artist to write a song, get the instrumentals, get it into the lab, the studio, get it pressed, get it into a CD form, or sell it online as an MP3, it's very readily available. I mean, once you have something recorded professionally, for as little as $35 or $40 a month, you can actually sell your stuff on iTunes or all these other services. So you're very right about the fact that a lot of artists really don't need the labels anymore. Mm. What do you think would be the catalyst that's going to make it so that an artist without a label can actually get out there, get exposed, wind up at the Grammys?
Knowledge. So many artists lack knowledge. I have literally hundreds of guys ask me, they don't even know how to copyright this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was fortunate because when I started, when my mother saw how serious I was with this, she sent me to school for it to learn a business.
Right.
You know, and the knowledge that you get, once you know that you don't need certain things that you are believed to need, you become a free spirit. And mm-hmm. and these artists, if they have knowledge, they can make it to the Grammys without anybody or the BET Awards.
That's important. Yeah, you know, you're so right, because that was the main reason, because a lot of people look at me like I'm not what you would expect to be involved with rap artists and hip-hop and R&B and, you know, all this, because I go all over the spectrum. But the thing that got me involved, and I said this to my boys when they got into the music, and like you said, they were serious, it's buyer beware. These kids, I just got so angry to see that they would take this talented young kid who was 16, 17, living in the projects, and they say, oh, we'll get you, you know, $100,000 contract. I'm sorry, but if you're living off welfare, cheese, and ketchup, like when I was growing up, $100,000, boy, who do I have to kill? Give me that check.
Right.
And I'll sign it with their blood, because that's how it was. And these kids think this is a huge amount of money, but they're not looking at the fine print. I remember looking at one contract one kid almost signed. He was signing away the rights to his own music.
Nah.
And on top of that, he had to pay the taxes, the federal and state taxes, on the whole amount that he was being offered, not just what he was going to get. So that meant that the agent and the producer were going to get their money tax-free at the expense of this kid. So technically, that the $250,000 contract they were offering him was less than $20,000 once they were done, because he had to pay for his own video and studio time and all this stuff. That's why you got to be careful. And that's what aggravated me, these kids getting chewed up and spit out like yesterday's news.
Yeah, and then they have to pay back $250,000 though, you know, to the label, and it's a game that they play, you know. And then when you can't produce, when you're just sitting there with $10,000 left from everything, and you're still living in the hood, you're still eating how you were eating, and everything else, and your motivation is gone.
Absolutely.
You know, then they put you on the back burner. And then you got a 5-year contract. I remember, I'm not going to say any names, but when I was rapping, I was approached by a label with a contract. And it was a nice amount of money, but they wanted me to pay the taxes. They wanted me to pay their producer. They wanted me to do my own promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And their promotion package included billboards and all this other stuff. By the time I was done adding this up on my own, I would have walked away with something like $27,000.
Right.
And it was,
and
like,
it's crazy.
No.
It's ridiculous. And you know, it's funny you say that. And, again, this is why it's knowledge is so important. Perfect example, TLC. We talked about them a couple of weeks ago on our show. Here's one Lisa was saying on the show. She's like, here I have $1 million contract, and everybody's looking at me like we're rich. She said, but the reality is, by the time I had to pay for the video, the makeup, the transportation, the video shoots, the photo shoots, and everything else, I didn't even have enough money to buy my mom a house.
Right.
And people are looking at me with their hand out like, you made it, but we didn't. And then the sad thing is, and again, this can be very aggravating because I see it, sometimes our own people will be the one that will take advantage of us. Because here she had this manager who was of her own race, a female, and she was the one that took advantage of him. And it took him, again, the knowledge to know that they could go to court and sue this woman to get out of the contract before they could do it, but it held them up for years before they could actually get their music back and get back on track. So
right.
You're absolutely right how important, and the fact that you mentioned kids not knowing how to copyright their stuff, like the average artist now doesn't realize that if you have 12 MP3s with your name on it that you are selling online, that will qualify you to become a voting member of the Recording Academy of Music.
Sure will.
People don't realize that. They think, and then the thing is, once you're a voting member, you can actually submit your music to be considered for awards. It's not about how much music you sell. It's the quality, and people don't realize that. Like, I remember talking to a kid. He's like, are you kidding? He's like, I got like 50 of those, and he's done 2 CDs, wasn't registered to ASCAP. None of his stuff was copywritten, and he didn't even know about the Grammys. I'm like, that means anybody could take your music, do whatever they want with it, and then good luck proving that that was yours, not theirs.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, and you got that.
Now, one of the things, do you envision your group also being able to offer maybe classes or seminars to educate artists on this?
Yeah, we're working on that. We actually wanted to do a probably later this year in the fall time, if not this year, next year, put together a independent music movement summit, you know, and then just school artists, because I've been to a lot of summits, and you leave not knowing anything. You know, they promise, oh, you're gonna meet so-and-so, and so-and-so's going to be here, and blah, blah, blah. But then they're there, but you don't gain anything. You still leave trying to promote your music, you know, and it's like it's a lost cause. You know, I would tell an artist, any artist listening right now, you get in touch with me, I'll tell you anything you want to know free of charge. Free of charge. Anything they want to know free of charge, get in touch with me, and I will tell you, because it's time to stop letting these major labels use these kids, because they're using kids to do their dirty work.
Right. And that's very true, because I know, for example, there's a huge summit in a particular city that they were sending, oh, you get to meet this one and the IA and the director of this. But the reality is, when I'm talking to them, like, okay, you're paying $150 to go to this weekend conference summit thing, but the odds of you actually being able to highlight your music to this person are nil, and then they have a cap on 10 songs are going to be listened to. We all know it's 30 seconds and next, 30 seconds and next. So here they're dishing out all this money, and like you said, they're not getting what they want to be able to get the exposure and stuff. So, I have to totally give it out to you. Kudos to you for what you're doing. I love the concept, and I can just imagine it's going to be, you know, exploding and just getting bigger. Scotty, we're definitely going to have you back, because I know there's a million other things that we need to pick your brain about to get our artists. Mountain Man, are you back? Where'd you go, man?
I've been here and there. I've been listening. But I've been having coughing fits.
Yes, I know. Poor Mountain Man's been sick. But usually Mountain Man does this, so I'll ask Scotty. Hey, Scotty, you got any shout-outs or hellos you want to give out there?
Yeah, I do, actually. I want to give a big shout-out to all my presidents. You know, I got Greg Sewell out there, Pat Price. I got Cardiac. Jesse Boss is about to start rolling with us. Big shout-out to my crew, everybody up here in Detroit that's been just backing me. Big what's up to Al Nuke and Big Gov. Everybody who's ever sent me music, it's so many of y'all, you know, forgive me if I didn't mention your name. It's just so many, and I just appreciate the love. And everybody who listens to my show and sends the comments and everything, I love you all. Believe me, I am paying attention. And, oh, yeah, don't forget to call the shout-out line. If you call this line every Tuesday, well, when Tuesdays come around, I will post it up, the phone calls, so you can start calling today all the way up until Monday. The number is area code 206-666-4602. And if you shout out to me, I will throw it on the show every Tuesday.
That's awesome. Now, if people want to get involved with the independent music movement, where do they reach you? How do they get a hold of you, and what do they do?
Okay, you can Google me. I'm all on Google, but if you want, the best way to get in touch with me is I'm always on Facebook. So you can go to, you know, facebook.com/ScottyMack That's SCOTTEMAC. Also, you can Gmail me. It's ScottyMacMusic@gmail.com. That's SCOTTEMACMUZIK@gmail.com. And I will respond to everybody that, you know, sends me anything. I will respond to you. And I will
accept
you as a friend on Facebook. So, you know.
Yes, definitely hit him up on Facebook. Check out.
Oh,
the,
well, I'm definitely going to do that myself.
Yes.
Okay.
I would have. What we'll do, too, is, Scotty, you can email me all that information. We'll put it up on the segment page, and that way it'll be there and people can listen to it. Scotty, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so psyched that you were here. Definitely going to have you back to let us know what's going on, how your membership's growing. And remember, like Scotty said, you don't necessarily have to be an artist. If you just love rap music or music in general, or you like the industry and want to learn more about it, you want to be a promoter, if you can talk to anybody and you like that, come on down. Hit Scotty up. He can use all the help that he can, and let's get this revolution going. We got to get that music out there. So, Scott, thank you so much for being on the show, and we look forward to having you back.
Okay, thanks for having me. I'll let y'all later.
All right, have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was amazing, huh, Mountain Man?
That was, and I was there, and I heard the breaks. But I just was having coughing fits at every time you broke.
You and your coughing fits. What am I going to do with you? No, and again, for our listeners, it goes to show the power of one. Here's this man who said, you know, he had a dream. He'd been in the rap game and wanted to. And again, karma is amazing. That's why I encourage everybody to realize, stop being selfish. Stop thinking only of yourself and realize that there's more than enough cookies in the cookie jar for everybody. That means that.
Yeah, Charlie, come on.
Yeah, there is. There's tons of cookies in there. It means if you're an artist, help another artist out. You can help each other out. You see his concept that if he has an artist in Detroit and he has an artist in Massachusetts and he has an artist in Arizona or California, you do the tour and you swap with each other. You can help tell each other which venues are the good ones, which aren't so great, promote each other's music, cross-promotion, and what better way. And the reality is if one makes it, we all make it. So, Mountain Man, why don't you give us the line?
What line is that?
Oh, geez, here we go.
Don't let anyone ever take your dream away.
Absolutely. And remember, the theme for 2010 is nothing is impossible to the willing heart. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad that everybody got to be here on this beautiful Thursday night. I apologize to the chat room acting freaky. I don't know what's going on with that. But on that note, I think we're going to let it all go out with this song by Sacrifice and Cardiac. All in one light. Have a good night, everybody.
I thought we were going out with Fighter.
No. All in one life. I'm in the mood. Yes, all in one life. And also remember, Monday, 8:30 p.m., we will be here. So don't forget to join us. Have a great weekend and have an awesome good night. Take us off, Mountain Man.
All right. All your life. All your life.
No, not that one.
Excuse us, why we have a little
difficulty. See, Mountain Man don't want to leave. No. All in one life. Here we go. Okay, let's try this again. All in one life, Sacrifice and Cardiac. Mountain Man, take it away.
Oh, duh.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
My loved ones, my block, my peoples, sort of, it's a struggle, you just gotta keep up, keep walking, keep your eyes on the prize, the other foot in front of you, you never know what life will take you, man, ride with me. Back in the 70s, dad just a boulder. A little earlier, my grandma raised a daughter. A beautiful thing, she was a ghetto flower. Caught a young man's attention with her power. It was love at first sight, I saw she thought. But a couple months later, he left her with a broken heart. Young and naive, only 17. About to have a young mouth to feed. Head down, she could feel the shame. A couple months later, labor pains. She looked down in her new son's eyes. A flashy smile, as big as the skies. Pop gave it being a man to try. Worked as a mechanic, mama up at Burger King. Meanwhile, late at night, she was studying. She did a thing and she got a degree. All in one lifetime, it's just all in one lifetime. All of my ups, all in one lifetime, it's just all in one lifetime. All of my ups, all in one lifetime, it's just all in one lifetime. All of my ups, all in one lifetime, it's just all in one lifetime. All
back to the future. Now I'm 14, and my pops up and left the scene. Now I'm a young kid, walking the block, and no white man, no, my mama's a cop. They show me no love, a young man locked in handcuffs. Mama always worked in the streets to raise us. Here's the twist, my uncle white as snow, and he's always telling me the right way to go. Until one day the cops took him to, yo. Imagine the pain, conflicted inside, not knowing whether I wanna ride or die. I get down on my knees and I'm screaming why. I hit the streets like a soldier boy, running a jacket, clapping an accent. No bastard better happen. But one night I slept and had a dream. My uncle told me to relax and breathe and shut.
All in one lifetime, it's